set, go. Three guys, one mic. A lot of heavy. Oh yeah.
Hello, you're listening to Heavy Set Go, and I'm Jeff Crenshaw. Ben Eastman went off to sell some magic beans, or buy some magic beans, I should say. And Alan Burrell, it's been many podcasts since he's been here, so who knows where he is. Probably, who cares. I have a guest today, a very special guest. His name is Tyler Shaw. Now, Hello. You hear the name.
Hello, Mr. Crenshaw. It's very nice to be here.
Welcome. You hear the name Tyler Shaw, and you think, what's so special about that guy? Sounds like a doofus. Well, Tyler Shaw.
Thank you. I went to
high school with him, and he was actually a filmmaker before I was.
And yes, I actually invented filmmaking.
Yeah.
Well, I was a filmmaker before anyone was ever.
That's true. So, how are you doing?
I am not dead.
Not dead?
So it could be better.
Well, that's good. you got me. I actually kind of got started because of you.
Yes, I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
To me or the world.
Yes, I loaded you with a terrible burden.
every time I'm like stuck.
I infected you with this awful disease.
You did?
Yes.
You should have... I should have said no. That Jeff, will you help me out with my film aneurysm? No, and I could be like happily.
Yes, you'd like be a bank manager. You'd be a wealthy man.
I like to think I'd have a monocle, spinning a gold watch.
Yes.
I'm sure glad I'm not a stupid filmmaker.
You can still do that. You just take your glasses and just break them in half, and then you've got a monocle.
Oh.
Yeah. See, it's the quick road to success.
But no, you came into my life as I'm gonna screw up his assured success.
Yes.
Get Mr. He's on his way to being a millionaire, and I'm gonna turn him into a filmmaker.
I successfully thwarted it. My cinematic life ruining technique. It's very good. I tested it on myself, and it was very successful.
Then I did the same thing to Ben Eastman.
Yes. So we're spreading the disease.
It's like a rash.
And the world will be a wasteland filled with people doing nothing productive. just making stupid little movies.
Read my screenplay. That's the new can I have some change?
Yes. Just on every street corner. A dude with a screenplay.
Yeah, it's like, want a screenplay?
Yeah.
Do you want it? Hey, if I wash your window with this piece of newspaper, will you read my screenplay?
Yes. Well, all right. If you wash my window with your screenplay, I'll read it while you're washing.
It's kind of brilliant. Kind of brilliant.
And then I will use it for my bird's cage.
Ah!
Because there's no newspapers anymore.
You could use the birdcage screenplay for your bird's cage.
That's true. That would be appropriate.
You should like every time you need to change the bird's cage, you just print out the bird cage.
Just print out the entire script again.
Shit.
Yeah. Right. That would probably bird cage is not that big. I doubt I would go through the whole script.
My birds don't live that long, so. How long is the bird cage?
I don't know. It's probably I mean, it's a feature, so.
It's true.
It's at least feature length.
120 pages, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm. How much would, like, a 190-page script, how long would that go?
190-page script, that would be, like, 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, so that'd be a Lord of the Rings type scenario.
I thought those were, like, 300 pages.
No. No, because 120 pages is 2 hours. So... Yeah, so like 3 hours is going to be like 180 pages, whatever.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's crazy.
And it was not enough, of course, because they had the massive books to adapt, so they had to cut out a lot just to get it to be that short.
I hear they're making a series now.
Yeah, I heard that. That's stupid.
Not in favor?
No.
Well,
they're just looking for more ways to ruin nice things.
That's all
they do. That's all they do in Hollywood anymore, is they find nice things to ruin.
What did you think of the Peter Jackson ones?
I liked them a lot. I loved the Peter Jackson movies.
I liked the Lord of the Rings ones. I did not care for the Hobbit ones.
Oh, well, yeah. I wasn't thinking of the Hobbit ones. I was thinking of the original Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I liked those.
I never even finished the Hobbit trilogy.
Neither have I. I saw the first two.
I saw the first one and part... Or did I ever see the second? See, I don't even remember if I saw the others.
I saw Unexpected Journey and The Desolation of Smaug.
That's how disinterested I was.
They just weren't very good.
Yeah, they weren't very good. And the problem was obvious. Like, the stretching it out to three definitely hurt it.
He was trying to make it into another...
And it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
And it was like, this could have been good as one movie. Like, it was so... Just the greed.
It's like when they make a Dr. Seuss feature film.
Yeah.
It just... granted, I've only seen... I've seen The Grinch, like the 2000...
Yeah, the Jim Carrey.
I hated that movie.
I haven't seen it in many years, so I don't know.
I hated that movie. I only saw the whole thing back then. And even as a kid, I hated that movie.
And I think I remember finding it, Jim Carrey's stuff kind of funny at the time. But not liking the rest of the Whoville characters. Finding them really boring and insipid.
God. It was so fucking bad. And I've seen clips since then.
Like, yeah.
Just because was it as bad as I thought? Because sometimes there'll be a movie that I loved as a kid that I'll watch and it's shockingly terrible.
Yeah.
Like the Roland Emmerich Godzilla with Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
I loved that when I was a kid. I saw it in theaters like three times. But I was pretty stoked when I saw it on Netflix a few years ago. I watched it. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah. I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
Have you had that though when you were a kid.
You watched something and it was bad later?
Yeah.
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. Like, I think there are things that I loved as a kid that later I was like, oh, this is just okay. Honestly, Jurassic Park has kind of died slowly over time for me.
Really?
A bit, yeah.
The original.
Yeah, I used to really love it, and... Now I kind of watch it and I'm like, oh, this is nice. But I'm not, I don't know. It kind of bores me a little bit now.
Wow.
It hasn't held up as well as like some other Spielberg films for me.
Do you think it's like that, the fourth of the film alone, or has it been tainted by the sequels?
No, I mean, I think it's just something in the movie itself.
I gotcha.
Yeah, because I never felt that strongly about the sequels. So, I think the movie itself just has something about it that's just sort of not clicking with me as much.
I gotcha.
Jaws?
Do you like Jaws?
I love Jaws. Love Jaws. Jaws is great, and E.T. is still my favorite movie.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in years, but that's a great movie.
Yeah, I guess I haven't seen it in a little bit, maybe like a year. Since I last saw it, I'm always scared to watch it. It's too powerful. It's too much. Can't handle it.
Yeah, it's too good. That little kid, great job.
And
Drew Barrymore, she was good in that too.
Yeah, she was funny. And that kid in E.T. is also the guy in Gangs of New York.
Really?
Yeah. Traitor DiCaprio. DiCaprio's friend or whatever. Have you seen the post yet? Or has it been released?
Oh, I have not seen the post. But I have, I'm interested in it, because I like that kind of movie, the, the newspaper against the machine, if you will.
Yes. So you liked Spotlight a lot?
I liked Spotlight. Although I always make fun of that one scene with Mark Ruffalo. They were kids, man, and none of us did nothing about it. Every time I see that scene, I laugh a little bit.
You laugh about the raped children?
Well, not about the raped children, no. I laugh about Ruffalo's performance. Oh. They were kids, man! Mark Ruffalo is a good actor, but that scene...
Oh, you didn't like that scene?
I don't know, it makes me giggle. Whenever it's become... I always like find an excuse to make fun of it. Let's say Ben orders a chicken sandwich or something and they fuck it up. I'll randomly, it was a chicken sandwich, man! We knew they were going to get it wrong, but we did nothing about it! It's one of those
things. You'll say this to the poor person at the counter. They just stare at you like, what sir?
Why never do it?
Sir, you're gonna have to leave.
I'm a guest here, man!
We're all big fans of that movie, sir, and we don't appreciate you mocking it. It was a terrible tragedy. You're gonna have to leave, sir. No, leave. You're gonna have to leave your quesadilla here.
Have you ever seen that episode of Seinfeld where Elaine has to go see the English patient, and like everyone, like her boyfriend loves the English patient, and everyone she knows loves it, but she's the only one that hates it.
I have seen the episode. Yeah, I don't remember anything, but.
It's fucking hilarious. And spoiler alert, at the end of the episode, her boyfriend breaks up with her. He's like, I don't think I could be with someone who doesn't like the English patient. It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah. That's a very Seinfeld-y thing to happen. Oh, did you see Mother?
I have not yet. I've heard it's good. Oh, did you like it?
I liked it. It was... I didn't love it, but I liked it. It was, like, the whole movie reminded me of, like, a Seinfeld or a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
What?
It's
Aronofsky?
Yeah, that's what's weird about it. It's like, it's really, like, if you think about the stuff that's happening, it's actually kind of comedic, but it's all being taken very seriously.
Oh.
It's really weird. Because it's basically, like, the basic premise of it is it's like... when the dwarves show up at Bilbo's house at the beginning of The Hobbit, it's like these people show up, mm-hmm. and then more show up, and then more people just keep showing up into this woman's house, and she's just getting really frustrated because her husband keeps letting them in, and she's like, could you please just, they're making a mess, and she's trying to clean it, and that's basically what the premise of the movie is, but it takes it like in this really dark direction.
Oh, wow.
But it's really that. It's really just, like, inconvenient house guests. It's really what the movie's about.
Guys! We need coasters! Come on! Do you respect wood?
Yeah, literally. There's scenes like that.
Really?
That are, like, she's just asked, like, and this one guy, like, just starts painting, because they were painting, still in the process of painting the house. Mm-hmm. One time, like, she comes out of a room, and this guy's just painting the walls. She's like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I thought it was the least I could do, is like help paint. Like, no, put the paint down. We can paint our own walls. We don't even, no, just stop. He's like, okay, fine. It's like such a like Larry David.
Wow. I've not heard it described that way.
I
couldn't help,
like, I was laughing when I watched it. I was like, how? Like, this is absurd.
The way you describe it sounds like a Curb episode.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me.
Nobody has described it to me that way.
Well, no, I know, because then when you get to the end, it just gets so dark. It's still that. It's like a really dark, twisted Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Did you watch the latest season of Curb?
I have not.
Oh, God. It was fun.
It was fun? It was good?
I liked it.
It's good.
I liked it a lot. So, it took a couple of episodes for them to hit their stride, because it's been...
Yeah, it's been a few years, hasn't it?
I think it was like 8 years ago that the previous season was aired. And so, like, I think the first couple of episodes had a problem getting to, like, the getting in rhythm, if you will. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I have no real complaints about the season. Some people hate it. Like, some Curb fans didn't like the season. I don't know what they're talking about, but...
Yeah.
So many great episodes. There's a celebrity cameo I don't want to give away.
Okay.
That when I saw him come on the show, I almost passed out from laughing because the way the season's been built up, I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be funny if this guy came on, and they ended up having him as a guest.
So clearly, someone else thought the same thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen the season. I don't see most things.
That's too bad. Well, just hang out with some amigo that has the channels and.
No, I don't even have time. Like, I haven't even watched movies really.
Oh wow!
It's like I haven't watched hardly any movies this summer. Or anything. It's just been so. I've been broken busy.
Broken busy. That's
busy making money and then busy spending the money on crap, on projects.
Needing to live.
Yeah.
You just saw one today though.
I did.
Darkest Hour.
And I saw Lady Bird in November.
I loved that one.
So that's like two movies I've seen since May or something like that. Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Oh, no, and I saw Last Jedi.
I have not seen that one yet. I've heard that there's all these twists in the movie, and it doesn't go where you think it's going to, so I'm...
There's some twists.
Does it feel like a Star... I've heard it doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie.
I thought it did. I mean, I liked it better than Force Awakens. I thought Force Awakens was trying way too hard to blend in with the original trilogy, and I thought this movie felt more like the original trilogy just because it wasn't so concerned with copying the path.
Oh, wow.
You know, the original trilogy, like, each one added a new dimension. And then Force Awakens felt out of place because it wasn't adding a new dimension. It was just trying to, like, reclaim the old stuff.
Yeah.
And so to me, Last Jedi felt more like a real Star Wars movie because it was expanding the universe rather than just repeating it.
I gotcha. So it felt new.
Yeah, it felt new. And that's what was really cool about it, was I think they brought in a lot of new creative stuff.
How was Carrie Fisher in the movie? Was she good?
She was good. She didn't do that much. She was in a coma for part of it. She gets knocked out at one point, and then she's, like, in a coma for a while.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah.
Do you think that was... what they intended, or did they do that just to get around her being dead?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know, but yeah, and it was good, and I knew it would be good because I had always said that Rian Johnson should be the director. Like, when they hadn't announced that J.J. Abrams was going to be the director of Force Awakens, I was saying that Rian Johnson should be the one.
Would you take a job like that if you were, like, if Tyler Shaw... You get to do the next Star Wars. Would you say okay, or would you say oh no?
I'd say no. I wouldn't. I wouldn't work for Disney if my life depended on it.
Really?
I'd rather have my hands severed than work for those crappy bastards.
Hey, careful! What you wish for, Tyler?
I know, Mickey
we're
Mouse.
Tear off your head, huh?
You think Mickey Mouse is gonna have me assassinated?
Gee, Tyler, time for you to be put on a guillotine.
Wait, who's that?
That was Goofy.
Oh, I see.
Garsh!
He sure is happy about that. No, I just think they're a terrible company that is doing terrible things.
Well, that's a risky thing for a filmmaker to say.
What?
That's a risky thing for a filmmaker to say.
I don't care.
Disney's about to own every studio on the planet.
I know, they're about... I know, it's kind of...
We can own everything!
That's what's so terrible about it. They're like... They're like the mafia. Like, they're gonna have all the power in, like, this one company's hands. Like, that's not good.
No, not at all.
It's a little dangerous, I think.
When did you first decide to become a filmmaker?
I don't know. Oh, well, it was like, as a little kid, like, I wanted to be lots of things, but, like, making a movie was always something I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always like, oh, I want to be like this, But then I'll also at some point like to make, like, oh, I want to be a writer. But at some point I'll also like make a movie. And then eventually, and then like once my family bought like a home movie camera, that's when I was like, oh, what if I just did the making the movie thing? And and just had that be the only thing. And I was like, oh. That...
So it was a access that really made you decide on that.
Like, yeah, well, I'd always be interested in it, and then having the camera kind of got me, made it the focus instead of just a peripheral. Like, because I was, for a long time, I wanted to be a comic book artist. Mm-hmm. And so, like, and at the time, there were no superhero movies, and I was really into, like, comic book superheroes. So I would, like, imagine what, like, a Spider-Man or, like, a Green Lantern movie would look like. And so that was my first foray into filmmaking.
Did the ultimate versions of those movies match up with what you had in mind?
Green Lantern did not. Well, the Green Lantern movie I had in mind was would have had Kyle Rayner instead of Hal Jordan, because he was the Green Lantern at that time.
I gotcha.
And I think I was gonna. I remember I wanted to cast that guy from Friends. What's his name? Is it Matt LeBlanc?
Could be. There's a guy named Matt LeBlanc. I think that's Chandler.
Yeah, I think... No, not him. The other guy from Friends. Dark-haired guy. They're all dark.
David Schwimmer?
I don't think so. The other...
Oh, God, what's that guy's name?
Yeah, wait a minute. I can Google it. But anyway, that guy from Friends, I was going to cast him as Kyle Rayner in my personal Green Lantern movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So
what's his name? Matt LeBlanc, not David Schwimmer.
Oh no, yeah, it is Matt LeBlanc. Yeah.
Oh okay.
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc. Wanted as Green Lantern. Then there's David Schwimmer is the skinny guy that was on O.J. Simpson.
Kardashian.
Yeah, and then Matthew Perry's the other
Matthew Perry.
Other dude. Yeah, they're both named Matt, so that's why it's confusing.
That was gonna bug me. I knew it was something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, I had Matt LeBlanc as Kyle Rayner, the Green Lantern. It would have been great, but I was only 10 at the time, so.
Sadly, you didn't have.
Yeah, I didn't have the clout.
The clout, the resources.
Yes, they ignored all my calls.
I remember like one time at your house, we watched this one Christmas special you made when you were 10.
Oh.
What was that, like Christmas in Australia or something, or?
Oh, the Canadian one.
It's been so long.
The Canadian Christmas Tragedy. With the puppets.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what was that about? Like, what was the plot?
You saw it, didn't you? No.
That was 10 years ago. Like, it's been so long now.
Well, the plot of that was that Santa was robbed on his way to Canada, and so the children in Canada hadn't gotten their presents.
I love it.
And so Santa called this private detective, like a Sam Spade type private detective, to find out what happened to the stolen presents. And it turned out that it was this disgruntled stuffed sheep that had escaped from Santa's workshop and wanted to free like all the toys, because it was unfair that toys had to be imprisoned and played with.
That's pretty creative.
So it was like this.
It was like a revolutionary.
It was like a Marxist stuffed sheep. Had stolen all these Canadian children's toys.
How long was it?
I think it was like 25 minutes. It was too. It was too long. Too long minutes. For a 10-year-old with puppets.
Well, it shows that even then that you had to make a 25-minute video takes a bit of drive and determination.
I guess.
It takes, like, what is it, like an hour of filming for every minute? That's the general rule?
Yeah, something like that.
And so that you worked 25 hours filming a thing, and you were 10 years old. That's pretty impressive.
Yes. Yeah, well, I feel like as a kid, and this has helped me a lot now, I would say, that as a kid, I learned that making a movie is hard.
Yeah.
Even a really tiny one.
It's really hard.
It's really hard and time consuming.
It is.
So later on in life, when things were miserable and difficult, I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, I think pretty much anyone who tries to do it comes to realize how...
Yeah, there's just a million stupid little problems, like... Because I just remember, like, as a kid, like, always having this problem where, like, oh, the camera's battery's gonna die. Ah, I want to shoot the shot from here, but the cable doesn't reach the outlet. And so now I've got this terrible problem where I didn't have an extension cord for some reason. So now I've got to, like, wait to charge the battery to do the shot over here because the cable doesn't reach. And I couldn't, like, shoot out a sequence because I was editing in camera. So I had to just wait.
God, you edited in camera. How did that work, editing in camera? Just, like, shoot?
Literally, like, I'd shoot, and then I'd, like, play back, and if I liked it, then I'd, like, stop it right at the perfect moment
to cut,
and then start filming the next shot. If I didn't like it, then I would have to rewind, and, like, this was even more difficult than regular filmmaking.
Yeah. Jeez.
And sometimes I would, like, shoot a couple scenes, and then decide I didn't like the scene in the middle, and would go back and have to reshoot both scenes.
Wow. I remember working on this video project in high school, where I shot like all the raw footage on one VHS tape, and then I had another VCR set up, and I'd hit record when it liked one take,
yeah.
And I'd hit stop, and I'd hit, and that's how I edited from like the raw footage to the edited version is like record, stop, fast forward, record. It was a pain.
Yeah, I bet.
It was. What were some of the films you made in high school?
In high school, I made. As you know, I made that movie, The Silencers, about the Men in Black.
I don't remember that one.
That was like freshman year.
Freshman year? What was that? That was about the Men in Black or
something like
that?
Yeah, it was like at night, like I saw some UFOs and these Men in Black like came to shut me up.
Oh, I've never seen that one. Do you still have that one?
I have it somewhere. It's not worth seeing, but...
I gotcha.
It was really hokey and dumb. And then, of course, there was Aneurysm.
That's the one I helped out with.
Yes. And then there was that other one with the writer.
I loved that one.
I can't remember what that one was called.
It was called The Writer.
Was it? No. No, it was called something else.
Well,
it was called Untitled.
Untitled.
I think is what it was
called. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was like he's writing his script or whatever.
It was like you were in most of it.
It was basically just me alone, and then like Lane Duras was in it briefly.
And Megan Gamble was in it too.
Was she?
She was.
What did she do?
She's like, we hated that story. And it's like your imagination of people reacting to it. Yeah, Megan Gamble's
in it. I don't even remember that.
I watched it a few months ago, actually.
I haven't seen it since high school. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't go back to watch
the... Oh, you know, I do all the time because I like... I don't like it, but I feel it's helpful to watch my old stuff to help me identify...
Yeah.
Like flaws and
it's too hopefully eliminate painful. Them. I just feel like I watch them once and then the flaws stick in my mind.
Yeah.
And I can never forget them ever.
It can be pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if you ever saw the feature I made in high school.
You made a feature in high school?
Yeah.
How long was it?
It was like literally 60 minutes, or I think it was actually like 55 minutes.
Wow.
So feature-ish. But, yeah, and I spent all 4 years shooting that stupid movie.
All 4 years of high school?
Yeah.
Wow. That's...
It was dumb.
What,
It wasn't that great in the end.
What was it about?
I don't know. I don't even know. It was about this kid, this, like, teenager who, like, invites his friends over... And there's this monster in his yard and something. I don't even remember. But there was a monster in his yard and it's like he invited his friends over to help him fight the monster or something. It was weird.
It was,
I remember you had to defeat the monster with eggs.
Ha!
It didn't make any sense.
I love it. It's like when they defeat the aliens with
Slim Whitman music in Mars Attacks?
Yeah. I don't understand why that was the case, but it was, you know, I don't know.
The aneurysm was pretty fun to make. I remember that was that one was about, the moral was to stay away from the media, or not to be too inundated with media.
Yeah.
Or also, if you let it consume your life, you become a zombie.
Yeah.
What was the story behind that? Like, how'd you come up with that idea?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't remember.
Gotcha.
I think I just wanted to do something with like a Twilight Zone-y type thing. Some sort of, I don't know, zombie-ish scenario or something. I don't know. I was very, like, just made stuff up in those days. Just
whatever works.
Everything was pretty half-baked. That's how high school projects are.
It was fun. That's what got me started on making films. Because I remember being absolutely amazed that I was, like, fighting with Brandon Regner. But we weren't with Brandon Regner when we filmed my stuff, so I was like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
This is trick editing.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And I ended up, like, the next year when I made The Truth of the Heart, which was my first film, which can sometimes be torture to go back and watch from it. But I remember, like, there was a scene that I needed Tally and Story, Sylvester there, together at the same time, and, like, Story had to go. Like, when Story was there, Tally was, like, running for some little track thing that he was in.
Yeah.
Maybe a track and field or something. One of those things. And when Tally was able to come later, Story had, like, a babysitting gig. And so they couldn't be there at the same time. So I just, like, filmed it separately, and I used Ben as to be in, like, Tally's shots and Story's shots. And, like, and I remember I took that. I was like, wow, thanks, Tally Shaw, for this amazing tactic.
Yes, I invented cross-cutting.
It was perfect.
Yes.
Worked out
one
well.
One of my many innovations, along with film and art. I invented art as well.
Fall on your knees and hear the toddler's voice.
Yes.
So, what are you working on these days? Like, what projects do you got going?
I've been working on a series of shorts, kind of surreal comedies, and I just finished shooting the last one a month ago, earlier this month. Nice. I finished shooting the last one.
I saw you on Facebook, you like were doubling your birthday party with a
For my birthday I had a bunch of people be extras in my movie.
That's awesome.
That was my,
you get food, but you're gonna be shot.
Yeah, you're gonna be shot. Yes. So, and that's looking really, the footage for that is looking really good.
Good.
And it's going to be really funny and bizarre and creepy, but it's cool. And so I just got to finish editing that, and then I'm going to release the whole series. And if you can go to our Facebook page, and take your medicine and smile.
Take your medicine and
Facebook,
smile.
At Facebook, or that's not the web address, it's like facebook.com/ take your medicine and smile, I think.
How'd you come up with that name?
I think I was, I, it was like, it was inspired by, like, Discord Records and these, like, punk record labels that had these sort of in-your-face names. So I was like, oh, I want an in-your-face name. So I
like it.
So I was like, oh, take your medicine and smile.
I love it.
It's like very aggressive.
It works. It's, I look forward to seeing what you have, look forward to seeing what you have coming out.
Yes. Yes, check it out, yes, at our Facebook page for all the updates, and you can be informed. I'm going to try to take the projects around and screen them around.
Okay.
So I might try to do, like, a screening up here.
Absolutely.
And stuff.
I can point you into some directions, you can have pretty good price screenings at Fifth Avenue Cinema, which is part of PSU's campus. Ben had a couple of premieres there.
That's cool.
They basically have desks.
That's cool.
And But it's great little theater.
Yeah.
And, do you know when you're going to do that, or is it still coming up in the...
I do not. It still depends on just when I get this thing finished being edited.
I gotcha.
Hopefully, that'll be pretty soon. But, yeah. But like like I was saying to the car, like, there's this one other project called Hugs that a part of me wants to shoot and have be a part of it, but mm-hmm. I'm just concerned that that's going to mean waiting a lot longer, and I can't wait any longer, so...
Yeah. You're just ready to be done.
Yeah, I mean, I'll still shoot the project called Hugs, but...
It won't be part of
it. But it might not be part of the first screening, so...
That's understandable.
Yeah.
The waiting, like the late Tom Petty says, is the hardest part.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have to go soon for dinner.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well, it's been great having you, Tyler.
Yes, thank you very much for having me on your series.
I'm glad that you came. I've been wanting to have you on.
As your substitute co-host.
No, you're my guest.
Were you saying it? Were you saying it's gonna be who was next week? Was it Jennifer Lawrence you're having?
Oh yes, Jennifer Lawrence knows who I am and is coming on my show.
Oh, that's good. Tell her I said hi, and that I'm sorry things didn't work out between us.
All right.
Yes.
It's been good seeing you, Tyler.
Yes, good seeing you.
For Heavy Set Go, this is Jeff Crenshaw.
and Tyler Shaw.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So that's...
This is Heavy Set.